Welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
Standing. to pray this morning. I wanted to tell him, Lord, bring me to a point of rest in serving God. Let me stop the struggle of trying to please God. Instead, let me respond to how God wants to be pleased. Help me to stop struggling, trying to please you. Instead, Lord, help me to begin to learn to respond to how you want to be pleased. It's when I get home that I'll know how much I owe, what my salvation costs, how costly it is. It is then, not now. It is then, not now. I will not know how much it cost Jesus. I will not know how much it cost heaven to save me, to provide for me, to lead me through life, to lead me safely home. Lord, help me to come to a point of rest in serving God. Cause me to ascend beyond religion. Help me to come into a genuine experience of relationship with God. Help me to come into a genuine experience of relationship with God. Bring me to a place of rest in God. In Jesus' name we are praying. I want you to pray. Lord, grant me understanding of the whole counsel of God. I tell you, when you understand all that Jesus died for, when you understand the eternal plan of God, being a Christian becomes a very simple thing for you. Because it's no longer about how much money you make in this world. It's no longer about what contract you got. I want you to pray that as the word of God will be coming, Lord, grant me a unique understanding. Speak to me in my own language. Cause me to see what your plan is, so that I will never need anybody to encourage me to serve God. In the name of Jesus. Father, grant us a unique understanding this morning of the eternity of your plan, of how eternal your plan and purpose is, of how eternal your love for me is, so that I won't need any human encouragement to serve you. Bring me to a point of understanding this morning in Jesus' name. Speak to me in my own language. Cause a revelation to dawn upon my spirit and upon the spirit of everyone here, that we may see how your plan is weaved, how your eternal plan is weaved with your eternal love, and help us to stand up to be counted. Help us, O Lord my God, to stand up, to take from your hand that which you have died for, to provide freely for us. Glory to your holy name. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. The Lord bless you. Let us be seated.
This thing is not straight. No. I don't know if anybody will be able to see it from there.
Yesterday, we began...
No, it's like that. I'm just saying so that it can be visible to all. Will you shift it?
We began an introduction of the theme of this meeting, admittance into the coming kingdom. And a lot of things were said, a lot of things were taught in the initial session in the morning. In the afternoon, we began with this chart. We had to draw a chart so that it's easy for everybody to understand what we're talking about. We stopped at this point yesterday at the judgment seat of Christ. I'll just do a very quick recap for those who were not here yesterday. We said that this present age or this present days, like today, you are alive today. Is it not so? But there are two choices before every soul. Is it that you choose Jesus or you don't? Isn't it so? You know, it's like that. Now, if you choose Jesus, automatically you'll be on the narrow way. I didn't say if you go to church. I said if you choose Jesus, because there are two different things, that you choose Jesus or that you go to church. They're not the same. If you choose to follow Jesus Christ, then you'll have to follow the narrow way. For the narrow way is simply the lifestyle of Jesus and his teachings. When you emulate him, when you follow him, when you follow the things that he has taught, when you follow his life examples, then you're on the narrow way. Or you could just choose to be like everybody else, then you're on the broad way. Amen. And we said, if one is on the broad way, what will naturally happen to him if he doesn't get saved is that he will die. His body goes to the grave, but his spirit and soul goes to hellfire to await judgment. If he is saved, it's either he dies also if the rapture hasn't happened, if Christ has not yet come. Or if the rapture happens, he doesn't need to die. He will be raptured. And then he goes to heaven. Amen. And when he gets to heaven, if the rapture has occurred, but if the rapture hasn't occurred and he died, his body stays in the grave while he goes to heaven to await his judgment, which is going to be the judgment of all believers. It's a single judgment. Amen. At the time of the rapture, if he had died, his body comes out from the grave, joins with his spirit and soul that comes from heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, from verse 13 to 17, we read that yesterday. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 50 to 53, we read that also yesterday. And then he goes with Christ and all the other believers to heaven, where he's judged according to the works he has done. And I said that the basis of this judgment is not to judge the believer for his sin, for the sin of the Christian has been judged in Christ at Calvary. Amen. It is judgment based on works, that is, to be able to identify and know what level in the everlasting kingdom, what position of authority can this person be given on the basis of his what's that English word for probation? Yes, because your earthly sojourn, that is your time on earth, is supposed to be probationary period. Do you understand? So in this time of probation, how did he live? That's what will qualify him for when we enter into the eternal kingdom. What position of authority can he occupy in God? Amen. So that judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, is to establish that fact. Amen. Are we following up to that point? Now, what I didn't mention yesterday because of time is the 7 years of tribulation. Now, because that's what we're really focusing on, I won't really focus on it. I'll just mention some things in it, okay? Because I don't want to get bogged down here. There's a lot. This place alone took from chapter 4 to chapter 19 of the book of Genesis, of the book of Revelation. You understand? So I don't really have the time to talk about that. Maybe when we have a meeting that deals with the tribulation period, then I can go into the nitty-gritty of what happens then, okay? But I'll just mention some things that we need. Do you understand? In this course of our study this morning. Amen. Now, if the Christian has gone to heaven, who will be left upon the earth? I'm asking you. Like I used to say, you know, when you want to confuse a teacher, everybody mumbles. Then he begins to look to catch something. You are correct, the unbelievers. But I don't think it's the unbelievers alone. A lot of church-going people will be left because they are unbelievers. Amen. You're not a Christian because you go to church. You're not a Christian because you were born into a Christian family. Amen.
I mean, the way the world classifies religions. You know, they say, are you a Christian or a Muslim? Then you say, I'm a Christian. That you wrote in forms, Christian, doesn't mean you're a Christian. Amen. Anyone who does not follow the lifestyle of Jesus Christ is not a Christian. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 John 2, 6 says, he that says he abides in him ought himself so to walk, even as he walked. KJV, the Living Bible Translation says, whoever says he's a Christian should live his life just as Jesus lived. Is that clear? 1 Peter 2, 21 says, for even hereunto were you called, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. So, whoever is not following in his steps, is he a Christian? Huh? No, he's not. It doesn't matter what your pastor says. If you are not following Jesus, even if he tells you, we are going to heaven together, you won't go anywhere. Amen. That's the simple truth. For it is those who believe in Jesus and who are waiting for his return that when he comes, he will take. Amen. Those who don't believe in him, but who mentally assent that, yeah, he's a child of God and all of that. When he comes, they'll be left behind. Like those 10 virgins. Do you remember those foolish virgins who didn't have oil in their lamp? They were left behind. That's what's going to happen. And one will be left behind to face 7 years of tribulation. 7 years when Satan will come out naked upon the world. Amen. 7 years when he attempts to make the whole world to worship the Antichrist, whom he will have given a seat of authority. 7 years of fierce judgment of God upon Israel and upon the nations of the world who have rejected God. 7 years of men begging to die and death will be running from them. And yet, some will die so violently and so suddenly. 7 years of, if you must now be saved after you have seen that Christians have gone, you must be ready to pray, to pay the supreme sacrifice. You must be ready to be killed. Amen. 7 years of the mark of the beast. 7 years of total and undiluted evil. 7 years of famine, war, and pestilence, that diseases, natural disasters, because the world will be tearing at its seams. You know when you say you tear a cloth at the seam, Abby? Why? Because the last 7 years, the sins of man will come to climax. Do you understand? And because God will be waiting to renew all things, he will let it run its full course. Amen. But also 7 years, or 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years will be for the judgment of Israel. Like I said, because that's not what we are talking about. You understand? I don't want to get bogged down there. Because you're going to have a lot of questions. And I don't want to really deal with that. Okay? Now, because this is where we are going. I want you to understand that the plans and purpose of God goes beyond your 90 years here. Amen? The plans he has for you is far more than just a paltry 90 years of, if you live up to that. Amen? It's an everlasting plan. Because the love he cherishes towards you is an everlasting love. People don't go to hell because they sinned. People go to hell because they rejected the love and mercy of God. Do you understand me? For we all sinned. Didn't we all sin? So people don't go to hell because they are sinful. All mankind sinned. Romans 3 verse 23. For all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Isaiah 65, I read yesterday. Verse 4, all of us are as an unclean thing, Abby, and our righteousness is like filthy rags. Our iniquities, like a wind, drives us away. Say, so we all fade like grass. So we all sinned. But the issue is, will you accept the love of God? Will you accept his mercy? Will you accept his grace? When men reject Jesus, what they reject is God's mercy, God's love, God's grace. Do you understand now? And there's nothing God can do. For man has the power to choose what he wants. It's only that when it's now time for him to repent, after he has seen all things, and he sees the lake of fire, sees hellfire, that's now when he wants to change. But the door of mercy would have been shut forever. When God, who knows all things and who is everywhere present, says people are lost,
before him, can they be found?
Do you understand?
Now, within these same 7 years, it will terminate at what we call the Battle of Armageddon.
Amen.
At the end of the 7 years, whoever wants to be a Christian here, maybe because they saw that rapture really happened, okay, and if rapture happened, then that means every other thing else is true. Is it not so? And they try to be Christian and all that, and they are taken, they are persecuted, they are killed. The latter part, that's the second half of the 3.5 years, deals with Israel. Because they remember that they rejected their Messiah in AD 30, is it 33, when Jesus Christ died. Huh? Because what they were expecting is a conquering Messiah. They were not expecting a suffering Messiah. They expected a political Messiah. And like I always say, until the Prince of Peace comes, there will not be peace in this world. It's not possible. For that is how it is prophesied. Amen. Now, the last 3.5 years, the entire world will raise their armies against Israel to wipe it out. Zechariah chapter 12. Somebody read for me very quickly from verse 1. Zechariah 12 from verse 1, very quickly because of our time. I want to see how we can wrap up this morning so that we can go to the next thing by afternoon. Zechariah 12 from verse 1. Yes?
The oracle of the word of the Lord concerning Israel.
The burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel.
Thus declares the Lord.
This is what the Lord says.
Who stretched out the heavens and founded the earth.
God, who stretched out the heavens and founded the earth.
And formed the spirit of a man within
and
him.
And formed the spirit of man within him.
Behold, I am about to make Jerusalem a cup of staggering to all.
Behold, God said, I'm about to make Jerusalem a cup of what?
Staggering.
Staggering.
To all the surrounding
to people. All the nations all around.
The siege of Jerusalem will also be against Judah.
Yes.
On that day,
I will
make Jerusalem a heavy stone.
I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all
the peoples.
For all the people. Yes.
All who lift it will surely
all
hurt
the
themselves.
Nations that attempt to lift it from where it is will what?
Hurt themselves.
They will hurt themselves.
And all the nations of the earth will gather against it.
And it is all the nations of the world that will gather against it. You can see that gathering starting from Revelation chapter 18. When three evil spirits, like frogs, comes out from the mouth of the beast and from his false prophet, and they go to all the nations of the world to deceive them and call them to battle against Jerusalem. Now let me tell you something about Israel. I don't want to get sucked into this thing, but I need it before we can talk about the millennial kingdom, okay? Which nation in the world have you ever seen that when they are conquered and taken away from their land, they restore them back to their land? Have you ever seen it before in the history of mankind? Eh? No, it doesn't happen, except for Israel. Before 70 AD, when General Titus sacked Jerusalem and Israel, they have been carried away into captivity thrice. Amen. The first was when descendants of Jacob and Jacob himself went to Egypt. Is it not so? And they were there for about 400 years. Right? Then God took them out, brought them to Canaan, and established them in that land. The second taking away was when Assyria, the empire of Assyria, sacked the northern kingdom of Israel and took all the people away into captivity. Amen. The second one was when Babylon, just less than about 120 years after that happened to Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah was taken away to Babylon. You remember the story. You know the story now. Why are you looking at you don't know the story? Okay, because it's there in the Bible, okay? Now, after 70 years, Babylon had conquered. So that means that Babylon is now in control of the lands Assyria was in control of, okay? God had said he would take them away so that there can be Sabbath on that land for 70 years because of their sin, okay? Now after 70 years, Prophet Daniel, praying to God and pleading, the Lord said 70 years is already done. According to the word of your servant, Jeremiah, Lord, please restore your people. Brethren, God brought up a king by the name Cyrus. And he commanded all the nations of the world, because he was the empire in charge of the whole world,
to return Israel, the Israelites, back to their land and to have their temple rebuilt. Okay? So they were brought back. The temple that was destroyed was rebuilt. And they were living on that land. It went on and on like that. Another 400, 500, 600, 700 years. Then the Messiah was born suddenly. After the Empire of Babylon had long given way to the Empire of Greece, and the Empire of Greece has given way to the Empire of Rome. At the height of satanic power over the world, all of a sudden, a virgin girl lost her period. Amen. She missed her period. According to the prophecies that have been aforetime mentioned, and Mary was visited by an angel, and it was explained to her what is happening. That God's promise in Genesis 3 verse 15, that he will send a seed of a woman who will bruise the head of a serpent, is about to come to pass. Because a woman has no seed. Seed means sperm. Is it not so? But because Jesus wasn't going to come through any human, male or human male, okay, that woman has to be pregnant without aid from any man. And of course, Jesus was born. He lived. And the Jews rejected him because they were under Roman rule at the time, okay? And they wanted a Messiah that would save them from the Roman yoke, okay? It was rejected. And for that rejection, God, in prophecy, spoke about Israel being regarded, first of all, in unbelief. Amen. But at a time will come, when the fullness of time of the Gentiles has come, which means when the world has dealt with Jerusalem the way they are going to deal with it, as you are reading now in Zechariah 12, okay? And also chapter 14, but we are coming to 14, we're not there yet. They would then be gathered together by faith, because all of Israel will be saved. Amen. Now, having said that, in the first 3.5 years of the... what I did was just to give you a background, okay? Now, at 70 AD, Israel was scattered all over the world because their land was destroyed and other people, Samaritans and the rest of them, were shipped there to live there. Okay? But one of the major issues that became the result of the Second World War, that is after the Second World War, was the establishment of the nation of Israel in 1948. Second World War was from September 3rd, 1939 till August 1945. You understand? And 6 million Jews were killed by Adolf Hitler, the German dictator who started the war, okay? Now, 6 million of them were put in death camps and all of that. Hitler wanted to wipe out Israel because he didn't understand the Bible. He didn't know it was only fulfilling prophecies to bring us closer to the end of the time. Because the Antichrist will have to go into agreement with a nation of Israel that is a nation under international law, okay? And they are occupying that land of Israel. And so after 1948 years, when they were removed from that land, they were returned back there again. That in itself is a miracle. It doesn't make sense. That kind of thing cannot happen with anybody else. Shekel that they were using in Bible times is what they still use in Israel. Their money is still shekel. Their cities are still the same cities. Gaza that's given them problem now with those ISIS terrorists and all that, were lands they refuse to conquer under Joshua. Gaza. They call it Giza now. But it's Gaza or Gaza Strip. Amen. Why I had to take you this far is that when you're not watching Israel, you can't really know where we are in prophecy. Amen. The second temple, or the temple that was torn down in 70 AD, will have to be rebuilt. But at this morning, as I'm speaking with you, what is on that temple is a mosque. Amen. Are you getting it? But somehow the Antichrist will be able to negotiate with the Middle Eastern nations. They will all agree that Israel should build their temple. Because in the latter half of these 7 years, the Antichrist will have, through genetic engineering, will have made a clone of himself. A normal person speaking and all of that, okay? And that clone of the Antichrist will want to sit in the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem so that it can be worshipped by the whole world. And Israel will not agree. So war will start. Okay? Now towards the end of the 3.5 years, the war would have been against Israel. Because the Antichrist and all the armies of the world would then come against him, against them. And they will be on the verge of conquest, of conquering them at the end of the 3.5 years, which will now be at the end of the 7 years. You understand? Remember that the saints, up till the last Christian to be killed at the tribulation, would have been judged and they would have been waiting in heaven. Okay? At the peak of that battle, the Bible recorded in several places, Isaiah 13, Zechariah chapter 14 from verse 1 to the end, Revelation chapter 19. From verse 11 to the end, speaks about the battle of Armageddon. What does it mean? The battle that ushers in the return of Jesus Christ, or what we know in theology as the second coming of Jesus Christ, where he comes physically again to this world, except that this time now he's come with all his saints. Hallelujah. And all angels. Where are they coming to? I want someone to read for me very quickly. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Are you there? Read from verse 11 very quickly.
And said, men of Galilee.
Okay, read from 10 so that we can know who said what.
And while they were gazing into heaven as he went,
yes,
behold, two men stood by them in white robes,
yes,
and said, men of Galilee,
yes,
why do you stand looking into heaven?
Yes.
This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven,
yes,
will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.
In the same manner that you saw him go, what will happen? It will return. Abi?
Return.
Okay, can you read on?
Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet.
So they were joyful that as Jesus ascended to heaven, angels are telling them now that this same Jesus who ascended is going to descend when it's now finally time for him to come, just the same way you saw him go. I want you to read Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4. You said that
they came out with joy from the mountain called what? Olives,
Abi? Okay. Remember that mountain, the same mountain he sat on and that was overlooking the temple where his disciples asked him, Lord, when shall these things be? When will be the end of the world and your coming? They didn't know they were sitting on the mountain of prophecy. They didn't know that they were sitting on where he was going to ascend from and where he would descend upon when he returns into this world. Yes, what does it say? Read from verse 3 then to 4.
Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations.
Then the Lord will go out and fight against the nations that have gathered against Jerusalem.
As when he fights on a day of battle.
As when he fights on a day of battle, yes.
On that day.
On that day.
His feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives.
Hold on. Is it not amazing? The angels said to them, this same Jesus who ascended from Mount Olives will return back again to Mount Olives. And on that day, as it is written in the book of Revelation chapter 19, from verse 11 to the end, when he comes with all of us, his saints, to claim or to reclaim this world that he made, amen, his feet will stand upon Mount Olives as he descends. And what will happen?
That lies before Jerusalem on the east.
Yes.
And the Mount of Olives shall split in two.
Of course, Mount Olives will tear apart into two. Because you don't understand what is happening. For the first time in the history of man, the spirit realm is now invading the physical realm. So a lot of things are going to start happening. There's going to be topographical changes, which means, you know, grounds will shake, mountains will come down, valleys will go up. There will be luminary changes, lighting system will change. For when it comes, there will be no more night. Afternoon like this will be night. Morning will be the brightness of the day, like 7 days. Put together in one day. So this is like night. It's night now. In the age that is to come. Read on.
from east to west by a very wide valley.
Yes.
So that one half of the mount shall move northward, and the other half southward. And you shall flee to the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach Azel. And you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah.
Yes.
Then the Lord my God will come.
The Lord my God will come, yes.
And all the holy ones with him.
Is there a King James version or New King James? You will see and all his saints with him. The book of Jude says the same thing. The Lord will come and all his saints, that is angels and resurrected saints, will come with him. Because it is time to take over the kingdom. It's time to put an end to the rebellion of Satan and the rebellion of evil and wicked men. The day I understood the eternal plans of God, I understood why Christianity could never be a religion. Amen. It's just a restoration of what was lost that God is putting back again. Yes? What does it say?
Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach...
No, it's just the Lord my God will come. That phrase.
Okay. Thus the Lord my God will come,
yes,
and all the saints with you.
All the saints with you. Amplified Bible, classic. You see all the saints and angels with him. Yes, what does it say?
And the Lord my God shall come.
And the Lord my God shall come.
And all the holy ones.
And all the holy ones.
Saints and angels.
That his saints and angels will come with him. Now, when he comes, I told you that there will be all manner of changes. But because of our time, and since I told you that you can read in those places, we'll just read two, three, few scriptures, okay? That shows you the kind of changes that will occur when heaven invades the earth. And when heaven comes to take over the earth. Now, remember that they are coming to a battle, Abby. The whole of Zechariah 14 talks about a battle. Revelation chapter 19 from verse 11 to the end talks about a battle. And the end of that battle is two things. The destruction of all the armies of the world, okay? And the capture of Satan as a prisoner of war, okay? Where he will be imprisoned for 1,000 years while Jesus rules upon the earth physically for 1,000 years. We needed the age to come, or what we call the millennial kingdom, so that things are organized properly before we go to the age of ages, which is eternal life. Amen. Okay? Remember, what I'm trying to show you is the journey of man from here, right, up to this place. How either how safely or unsafely to be for him, depending on the choices that he makes between where he is now, where you are now, as we are living in the world now, and how eventually you will get home. Okay? But we are still here. And I'm speaking about what will happen when Christ enters into the world. Chapter 14. Read from verse 1. You stop around verse 6 or 7.
Behold, a day is coming for the Lord, when the spoil taken from you will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the house plundered, and the women raped. Half of the city shall go out into exile, but the rest of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations, as when he fights on a day of battle. On that day his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives that lies before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mountain of Olives shall be split in two from east to west by a very wide valley, so that one half of the mount shall move northward and the other half southward. And you shall flee to the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach to Azel, and you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him.
Yes.
On that day, there shall be no light.
On that day, what will happen?
There shall be no light.
Yes. And what?
Cold or frost.
Yes.
And there shall be a unique day.
It shall be a unique day. Why?
Which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night, but at evening time there shall be light.
Hallelujah. At night, when night falls, you fall. What will happen?
there will still be light. For the light of the world has come and it has arrived. It has come to banish sin and evil and all of those who chose wickedness and evil. Read on. What will happen to these armies that gather against Jerusalem?
On that day,
yes,
living waters shall flow out from Jerusalem.
Yes.
Half of them to the eastern sea, and half of them to the western sea.
Yes.
It shall continue in summer as in winter, and the Lord will be king over all the earth.
Hmm.
On that day, the Lord will be one, and his name one. The whole land shall be turned into a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. But Jerusalem shall remain aloft on its site from the gate of Benjamin to the place of the former gate, to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses, and it shall be inhabited, for there shall never again be a decree of utter destruction. Jerusalem shall dwell in security. And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the peoples that wage war against Jerusalem.
All the soldiers that come against Jerusalem, this is what will happen to them.
Their flesh will rot while they are still standing on their feet.
Hmm.
Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths.
Hmm.
And on that day, a great panic from the Lord shall fall on them, so that each will seize the hand of another, and the hand of the one will be raised against the hand of the other.
Amen. The way the Bible describes the same battle in the book of Revelation chapter 19 about the King of Kings, which is Jesus Christ, and how he would defeat all the armies that come against him, it says, and a sword shall proceed from the mouth of he who sits upon a white horse, and it shall smite all those enemies. But you would have thought that maybe that meant Jesus would vomit a sword. No. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is sharp like what? A double-edged sword, piercing to divide asunder of the soul and spirit, of the bone and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Very quickly, let's just go to Revelation 19, so that we see that destruction there, and then we'll then move to when it comes, what will happen? What are the kind of changes? And then the human beings will be on earth. What will happen to them? Okay? Revelation 19. From verse... you can read from verse 15. But where we are really going is verse 21. So read from 15 to 21 very quickly.
From his mouth comes a sharp sword.
Oh, you know, we'll read from 11. So that way we read the same battle, the same account of the same battle.
Then I saw heaven open.
Yes.
And behold, a white horse.
Yes.
The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True.
Hmm.
And in righteousness he judges and makes war.
Who is this person?
Jesus.
That sits on this white horse. Huh?
Jesus.
This is now after the rapture of the church, after the judgment of the church, after the banquet feast of Christ. Now, the banquet feast is more like... there's no enough time. The banquet feast is more like a dinner in honor of some people. Do you understand? Now, the Lord is hosting a dinner in honor of all his saints, whom he has now appointed to positions of authority in his eternal kingdom. Do you understand? It's after this banquet feast of Christ. All of this is happening in heaven while the tribulation is continuing on earth. Are you getting it now? It's at the end of this that he comes to reclaim the rebellious part of his kingdom, which is planet earth. You understand now? And he's coming with those whom he has judged and has given positions of authority. Now they are coming to take office. Do you get the idea now? Huh? And of course, that banquet feast will have everybody there. You may be sitting on the same table with Noah. David will be there. Maybe you'll be a choir master. Everybody who had ever lived righteously will be there. Remember Hebrews 11 verse 40. What did it say? We read it yesterday. God, having provided better things for us, that they, that is the Old Testament saints and all the saints who have lived before us, without us, will not be made perfect. All of us will be judged by the same standard. All of us will be judged at the same time. And all of us will return from heaven to reclaim the earth and to establish his kingdom upon the earth. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's Christianity. So when I see men talk about, you know, it is your time. Oh, tap that anointing and all of those funny things. You know, I just wonder. Are we reading the same Bible? How can there be so much? And then you build a factory around crumbs of bread. And then you threw away the whole bread. When we come, the coming of the Lord into the earth will do some things. I'll just go over it, you know, shortly. Okay? Topographical changes, luminary changes, what happens to animal life, what happens to mosquitoes and the rest of them, germs, what happens to them, what happens to death. This is the good news. What did I say? The good news is that the kingdom is coming. Shape up. You don't need to do anything other than believe the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus. If you do, you come in. And you come into what God has provided in love. Neither do you need to come in then. If you can come in now and have a foretaste. Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Honestly, the Lord is good. I'm not even yet talking about New Jerusalem. I'm just talking about the millennial kingdom. Okay, are you done reading? Okay, please read up.
His eyes are like a flame of fire.
Yes.
And on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself.
Yes.
He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. Mm. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses.
Have you ever seen an army that goes to battle wearing white linen?
From his mouth comes a sharp...
Hold on. Yet all of us are made exactly to be like him. Glorified like him. Bible says, for when he comes, we shall see him as he is. For why? For we shall be just like him. This is what keeps me awake. This is what gives me hope every day. That when I'm glorified, what age did Jesus die? 33. When is the peak of youth? You don't know? 33. That's the peak of youth. Because from that period onwards, you start depreciating. You start holding stick. When we are glorified, we'll be exactly like him. Never weak again. Never aging again. This is the gospel. Will be just like him. Totally changed, absolutely beautified. Read on, please.
From his mouth comes a sharp sword.
Yes.
With which to strike down the nations. Mm. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, the Almighty. On his robe and on his tie, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called to all the birds that fly directly overhead, come, gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophets, who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. and the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and all beasts were gushed with their flesh.
Very quickly, from chapter 20, from verse 1 of chapter 20 to verse 3.
Then I saw an angel coming
to verse
down.
4.
Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the pit, and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer, until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God.
That things that lived in tribulation but were killed, okay? Okay? He saw that they were joined to the other saints who are already in heaven, okay? Except that now they are all on earth, okay? Go ahead.
And those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years.
Amen. So when Satan is captured during the battle of Armageddon, he's thrown into the bottomless pit. Amen. Now, when Jesus comes upon the earth, what will he look like? What will physically happen? Number one, there will be supernatural restorations. What do I say there will be? Romans chapter 8, verse 19 to 22. Very quickly, you know, we have to read so many scriptures, and we don't have all the time. Romans chapter 8, verse 19 to 22. Please get the book, Unveiling the Coming Kingdom, from our website, or ask us for free copies. It is free, okay? All of these things are written there to help you to understand better, at least at your own pace. Okay? Yes.
For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility.
Yes.
Not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope.
Yes.
That the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth.
The
until
whole
now.
Creation has been groaning together until now. Do you know when that groan began? Who did God give the earth to when he made the earth? Or when he remade the earth? Who? Adam. When Adam sinned, did you notice that God cursed the earth? Huh? That curse is still running its course, okay? And that's why you keep having cyclones and Hurricane Katrinas. I don't know why they always have female names, those hurricanes. You know, hurricane, this one, hurricane, that one, earthquakes and all the rest of them. Okay? They will keep happening until he comes. When he comes, everything must be at peace. Remember the storm that was on that sea when he was sleeping, and his disciples had to wake him, and he rebuked it, and everywhere was calm. So when the Prince of Peace comes, everything will then be renewed. Everything will then be restored. Hallelujah. There will be supernatural changes. The earth is groaning because of the sins of man. The more man sins, the worse the weight of man's sin becomes upon the earth. That's why you see God, after a period of time, he has to wipe out generations of people, okay, because of their evil. It happened at the time of Noah with flood. Happened at Sodom and Gomorrah, where homosexuality and lesbianism first began from. The entire universe, brethren, is groaning under the bondage of sin, corruption, and the curse. However, by the time everything will be renewed, this world will be such a wonderful and beautiful, beautiful paradise that all we can say now is that it will be like Eden restored. Hallelujah. So let's look at the different changes. When I said supernatural restorations, let's look at what will happen to the earth when the king and the Prince of Peace comes to rule, number one is the water systems. It will change. Amen. How do you know that 3/4 of the world is digitized? Isn't it so? If you look at the globe, it's just 1/4 that is left that mankind lives on. In the new earth, there will be no more gigantic oceans and large seas. Consider that in Revelation 21 verse 1. Instead, there will be abundance of rivers, lakes, springs, fountains, and small seas, watering the fertile, free earth forever and ever. Okay, because I can't fully explain everything yet. Most of what I'm trying to explain starts here, but is perfected here. Do you understand? Starts in the age to come, which is the millennial kingdom, but is perfected in the age of ages, which is eternity. Okay, but there are some few things that I want to just quickly explain about here, about the millennial kingdom. Because from the point when Jesus comes, the curse upon the earth will be lifted. Do you understand? Yet, the earth will still be renovated by fire, okay, before the eternal kingdom comes, okay? Okay, it seems that the best thing I should do is let me leave all that description to here, okay? But I'll just mention the most obvious ones that will happen. Things like light system changing, things like the judgment of the people that will be upon the earth at the time when it comes, okay? So that way I don't get bogged down and I'm coming back to it again. Okay, I said that mountains will be lowered and valleys will be put up. Is it so? Except that Jerusalem itself will now sit on a mountain. Okay? Zechariah 14, 4 to 5. You read it earlier, but read it quickly again. 4 to 5, then verse 10. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 to 4. Very quickly.
On that day,
yes,
his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives,
yes,
that lies before Jerusalem on the east,
yes,
and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west,
yes,
by a very wide valley,
yes,
so that one half of the mount shall move northward and,
yes,
the other half southward,
yes,
and you shall flee to the valley of my mountains, for the valley of my mountains shall reach to Azal, and you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah,
yes,
king of Judah.
Yes.
Then the Lord my God will come and all the holy ones will.
Verse 10.
The whole land shall be turned into a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. But Jerusalem shall remain aloft on its sides from the gate of Benjamin to the place of the former gate.
Okay.
To the corner gate and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses.
Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2 to 4. Also Isaiah 40 verse 4, Isaiah 49 11. But you're reading just Isaiah 2:2-4 over time.
And it shall come to pass,
yes,
in the latter days, that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it.
Yes.
And many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
Amen. The next thing that will happen to our earth when Jesus comes is that deserts will flourish. We'll have no more deserts. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 1 to 2, verse 6 to 7.
The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing.
Verse 6 to 7.
Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness.
What will break forth?
Waters.
Yes.
And streams in the desert.
Have you seen stream in the desert before? But when it comes to renew everything, it's coming into our world. We'll change it to the original nature with which he made it. Have you finished reading that?
The burning sand shall become a pool.
What happens in a desert? The sand during the day, you know, it's very hot.
In fact, during the Second World War, during the North African campaign, soldiers can put fine pan on their tanks, put oil, put eggs, and it will fry. Or they could put their kettle with water on their tanks. They will have water for tea. That's how hot the deserts are. But the Bible said that the burning sands will become what? A pool of water. Yes?
And the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes.
Hallelujah. Isaiah 32 verse 15, Isaiah 35 verse 7, Isaiah 41 19. There are still more scriptures, but let's just read those three then so that we can move on quickly. Isaiah 32 15.
Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high.
Yes.
And the wilderness becomes a fruitful field.
Amen.
Amen. And the fruitful field is deemed a forest.
Yes.
Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness abide in the fruitful field.
Isaiah 35 verse 7. 35 verse 7.
The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become
reeds. Okay, we've read that before. Isaiah 41, 19. Isaiah 41, verse 19.
I will put in the wilderness the cedar, the acacia, and the myrtle, and the olive.
These are trees that don't grow in the desert. Do you understand? They are trees that grow in very fertile land. God said, when he restores everything, he will put those same trees there. Yes?
I will set in the desert the cypress.
I will set cypress tree in the desert.
The plane and the pine together.
Pine trees will be there too. Okay? Read quickly 51 verse 3, then 55 verse 13.
For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all our waste places. And again. A desert like
the garden. And make a wilderness like what?
Eden.
Like the garden of Eden, yes?
A desert like the garden of the Lord.
Her desert will be like the garden of the Lord.
Joy and gladness will be found in her.
Joy and gladness will be found in her.
Thanksgiving and the voice of song.
Thanksgiving and the voice of song. So instead of desert, you'll have streams, springs of water, and fresh flourishing vegetation will cover the former desert lands. You see that in Isaiah 43, verse 19 to 20. We haven't read it. It's not part of what we read. Also, Isaiah 41, 18. But we're not reading 41, 18. We're reading just 43, 19 to 20. So that we can move on.
Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
Is that verse 20?
Okay. The wild beast will honor me. The jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness,
hallelujah,
rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people.
Hallelujah. Now all these things will be happening together. Just you know that when God is working, God multitasks. Amen. He does so many things at the same time. As you're having topographical changes and you're having geological changes and all the rest of them, and deserts are turning to fresh lands and all that, pools and streams and springs of water are flowing therein. When it comes in, there will also be luminary change. That means the lighting system will change. There will also be change in the climate. The climatic conditions will also change. Now, let us quickly look at it, all of them together, and then I'll look at lighting separately. And then climate afterwards, okay? And then I'll stop there to talk about the people that will be on the earth and what will happen. And then I'll move on to the other things. And when I'm here, when I'm in the age of ages, then I'll explain further things of what the changes will look like and all, okay? Now, read for me Matthew. This is from the mouth of the Lord Jesus himself. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 to 30, about the luminary change. Luminary means lighting, okay? About the luminary and climatic conditions of when it comes. Matthew 24, verse 29 to 30.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days.
Immediately after when? The tribulation period. Just when the master is coming, what will happen?
The sun will be darkened.
The sun will be darkened.
And the moon will not give its light.
And the moon won't give its light.
And the stars will fall from heaven.
The stars will fall from the skies.
And the powers of the heavens will be shaken.
And the powers of the heavens will be shaken.
Then will I appear in heaven.
And in the midst of all that, that's when he will appear with his saints.
The sign of the Son of Man.
Yes.
And then all the earth will mourn.
What will happen to all of them when they see him? You know, the Bible says in the book of Revelation that every eye shall see him. People have always wondered, but how will every eye see him? People who live in Japan, and people who live in Canada, people who live in Australia, people who live in Madagascar, how will they all see him at the same time? Just barely 150 years ago, there was no internet. There was no satellite TV. Is it not so? If I'm viewing something now online, how many people can see it? Huh? Can the whole world see it? If it's a live stream, can everybody see it at the same time? And before that technology came, it has been written that how many eyes will see him? Every eye will see him. Amos 8 verse 9, Joel chapter 2 verse 1 to 11, and Joel chapter 3 verse 9 to 16. We may not be able to read that. Joel chapter 2 was talking about the army that follows Jesus from heaven. His saints and angels, you understand? Was just a vivid description of what they will look like when they come out, the battle will be, all of that. So we may not read it. You may read it at home on your own, okay? Or when you get that book and you're doing the study, you can read all of that there. Read Amos 8 verse 9.
And on that day,
yes,
declares the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon, and darken the earth in broad daylight.
I will make the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the sun at broad daylight. Everybody, I want you to look to the back. This will be night in the age to come. That's what I want to show you now from scriptures. Daytime will be this kind of brightness times 7, and yet no heat. People are not falling under sunstroke and the rest of them. There are some other scriptures that I will not have time to read, says, on that day the sun shall be ashamed when they see the brightness of the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, when the maker of the sun comes, what will the sun look like? Lighting in the new earth when he comes. What will the lighting system look like? When the Lord Jesus returns with us, his saints, to the earth, his very coming into our hemisphere of this planet will cause violent, cataclysmic, seismic, cosmic, climatic, and topographical and luminary changes. Beginning from the end of that day, when Jesus returns to the earth with us, his saints, there will be no more darkness that depicts the end of a day. Instead, night will be like 12 p.m. noon in the afternoon, and day will be like the light of 7 days condensed into one day. In other words, the moon will be like the sun, and the sun itself will now become 7 times brighter, but no heat. Okay? Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26, particularly from the NIV, then Zechariah chapter 14, verse 7. Isaiah 30, verse 26, particularly from NIV Bible.
The moon will shine like the sun.
The moon will shine like the sun.
And the sunlight will be 7 times brighter.
And sunlight becomes 7 times brighter.
Like the light of 7 full days.
Like the light of 7 full days.
When the Lord binds up the bruises of his people.
Yes.
And heals the wounds of he inflicted.
Amen. The wounds he inflicted. Because he placed the world under a curse because of sin. This is the gospel. What happens to Kandu if this is night? Huh? Will anybody need candle again? What about torchlight? Vanished forever. And just as the people of the new earth will no longer see darkness, those who will be in the lake of fire forever and ever will never see light again. You don't understand how fire is burning and it does not give light. Darkness. Bible said that what is reserved for them is the blackness of darkness. The kind of darkness you can touch. How will fire be burning and it's not giving light, and yet it's burning people? Don't ask me. That's what is written in the Bible. I've not asked God, how is that possible?
But that's what God said it will be like. They will be in darkness forever and ever. In pain and punishment forever and ever. And you are here. You have the potential of going there. Or you have the potential of going... The voice is solely and solely yours. Now, what happens after it has come and all of those changes have happened and people are coming out from their holes that they've been hiding because they've been afraid? What then happens when it comes? Matthew chapter 25 from verse 31.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory,
yes,
and all the angels,
please, who is speaking here?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus himself. Yes.
Then he will sit on his glorious throne.
When he comes, he will sit on his throne. He will set up a throne and sit on it for judgment. Yes.
Before him will be gathered all the nations.
Before Jesus will be gathered all the nations of the world.
And he will separate people from... He will separate people one from another.
And he will set them apart one from another.
As a shepherd separates the sheep from the
goats. As a shepherd separates his sheep from his goats. Now, I told you before that at the battle of Armageddon, all the armies of the world have been destroyed. Is it not so? But is everybody a soldier? Is every citizen of every nation a soldier?
No.
No. You know it's not so. It's only a certain number of people that are soldiers in a nation. Is it not so? But the soldiers who defend a nation, the purpose of their work is defense, is it not so? To make sure that their nation cannot just be run over by anybody else. Now, what happens if all the armies of the whole world have been wiped out? Who then rules? It has to be the person that has an army. Now, remember that when Jesus is coming, in Luke of Revelation 19, the Bible says, and all the armies of heaven clothed in white followed him, right? So the only person that will be left with an armed force is Jesus alone. Amen. An army of saints. You know, people that you can't kill again. If somebody has died once, can you kill him again? People that can pass through walls and yet they can eat normal food. So how will you kill him? Not just army of saints, but also army of angels. I hope you know that in heaven, they have a standing army. I hope you know. You don't know. They have a standing army in heaven, and they are numberless. Amen? Now, it's not just that these saints are coming. See, I have very limited time. I would have explained the rewards of the righteous. For if you are the son of a king, and you are asked to rule, do you see a king with no retinue? You see a king that has no aides. So you cannot see a glorified saint who had labored and served Christ while he was here on earth. And now he has been chosen to reign in the kingdom. And there are no aides and retinues of angels, not even men. And yet he's higher than them. For the nature of Christ is higher than the nature of angels. Is it not so? And yet he chose the nature of man, not angels, when he came into the world because of us. Okay? Now, when it comes, all the people who are now on the earth, in all the nations are gathered before him. It's time for their judgment. There are different types of judgment. You need to understand that, okay? There's a judgment of... We have no space to write, so you may have to just write it down. There's a judgment of the believer, particularly of his sin, which I told you happens at Calvary. There's a judgment of the believer's works that happens at the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? There's a judgment of Israel that happens at the tribulation period. Okay? There's the judgment of the nations, which is what I'm talking about now at the beginning of the millennial kingdom. Okay? There's the judgment of fallen angels. Okay? Which will happen at the same time the white throne judgment is happening. And according to scriptures in 2 Corinthians 6, from verse 2 to 4, saints are the ones who are going to be presiding over that judgment. Okay? And finally, there's a judgment of the wicked. That is, people who are in hell. Remember I told you that when all things are renewed, they'll be brought out to face the white throne judgment, and then they'll be sent
into everlasting punishment at the lake of fire. Amen. Did you get that? How many judgments is that? Huh? Somebody was saying three. No, it's not three, oh. Six. I think there's a seventh one. Yes, the seventh one is self-judgment. Because I know there are seven. Self-judgment while I'm alive on this earth, as I read my Bible and I see what the Word is saying about me, I should judge myself lest I be judged. Do you understand now? Now, which verse did you stop? If you didn't write it, I will give you. Eh? Which verse did you stop? So he said he will separate all the people. Yes?
And he will place the sheep on his right.
And then he will place the sheep on his right.
But the goats on the left.
But the goats will be placed on his left hand.
Then the king will say to those on his right.
Yes.
Come, you who are blessed by my father.
Yes.
Inherit the kingdom prepared for you.
Yes.
From the foundation of the world.
Yes.
For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.
Amen. Did you see the basis for their judgment? How they treated Israel and the tribulation saints. That will be the basis of the judgment of all the people left upon the earth. Some people will tell the world police, because there will be world police at that time. Come and see, one Christian is hiding here. Christians will now be the terrorists at that time. Not because they are throwing bombs, so, but because Satan is the one on the throne. Do you get the idea? I'm talking about at the tribulation period. How they treated the nation of Israel and how they treated tribulation saints, that is, people who now become Christians after the rapture. Okay? That's the basis of their judgment. Now, people have often wondered here, why would Jesus judge people? Is that not works? No, it's not works. Instead, it is works that comes from faith. Hallelujah. And I'll use one story in the Bible to explain it. But before I explain it, let me quickly say this. How could it be that they will be on earth and yet they will not take the mark? Do you understand? Remember that the world is a corrupt world. Is it not so? Many of them, of these people, will now eventually enter into the kingdom as natural men. Okay? Many of them will be people who know the Bible, who knew that the Christians have talked about rapture and the rest of those things, who knew they shouldn't take the mark. And so, is there bribery and corruption? Is there bribery and corruption in the world? Eh? Now, at the tribulation period, when will it be high or the highest? Those things will be very high. So they could easily bribe them, give me food. Do you understand? Or many of them would also equally be in hiding. Do you understand? And when he sees an Israelite, because they are chasing him, hides him. Do you understand now? Because whoever takes the mark of a beast will not be saved. There's no, you understand? And many people in the world will. When Jesus, or when God is done with the world during the tribulation, my Bible tells me that men will be scarcer than gold upon the earth. So, all over the world, we could have 99% of people perishing during the tribulation period. Don't wait to find out till then. Amen. So, at the end, I don't know, we may not even have up to maybe 500 million people out of 7 billion now, if it comes now, okay? We never even have up to that. But it will be so terrible. From prophecy, God's word says that kind of time will only come once and it will never come again. Okay? So, how they treat Israel and how they treat the tribulation saints is the base of their judgment. Who remembers Rahab in the Bible? Joshua chapter 2, the harlot Rahab, who when the spies came to their city, Jericho, she hid them. Did you remember what she said to them?
He said that we heard that you're coming. She said, I know that the Lord your God is God in heaven. Even though I'm not an Israelite, though, I believe him. I know he's God. Was Rahab's house saved when everybody else perished? Do you understand it now? So God will never do anything that he will not give or have an evidence in scripture for. He normally does that. Okay? Just the same way her faith saved her. Because in the book of Hebrews, you see that by faith, Rahab hid the spy. So I knew that it was faith. Okay? In the same way, these other people who will live on earth during the tribulation, they themselves in hiding, will hide many Israelites, hide many Christians. Okay? And because they did that to the least of his brethren, Jesus said they have done it to him. And therefore they can enter into his kingdom. So they enter into the kingdom. The other people, because if you read further down, you see that the goats, he told them, depart from me, you cursed, Abby, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Because you didn't give me food, you didn't give me clothes. He said, when did we do that? He said, inasmuch as you didn't do it to any of my brethren, you didn't do it to me. And therefore, they will be thrown into... No, they won't be thrown into hellfire. They'll be thrown into the lake of fire. Remember, they have been judged now, okay? Now, for 1,000 years, Jesus will rule upon the earth. Satan has been imprisoned, as we read in Revelation 20, Abby. And because he has been imprisoned, men will start gathering their lives again together, except that there will now be one world government. Amen. You can see that in Daniel chapter 2, I think verse 44, that should be the last verse. Then Daniel chapter 7, verse 18, verse 22, verse 27. Very quickly. So, while they are trying to open the Bible for us, men will now start rebuilding, you understand now, and they are now under the reign of the King, Jesus, who sits enthroned at the city of Jerusalem, while all the saints are sent all over the world, okay, to rule and administer justice on his behalf. Will you be there in Jesus' name? For that is what God ordained for your life. And why you want to be that, I don't know. But that is the plan and purpose of God for you as a person, for me as a person. If not, we will not live that this time. Huh? We would have been born when everything has ended. And in the age of ages, you'll be asking, but what really happened at that time? And then the saints will then be telling us the stories of this age and this time. Okay? But because you're born now, it's because you're important when? Now. Amen. Who is reading for us? Chapter 2.
And in the days of these kings,
in the days of these kings,
the Lord God of heaven, will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people.
And the kingdom will not come to ruin other
people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms,
yes,
and it shall stand forever.
How long will this kingdom of How long will it stand? Forever. So I love the song. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing to the Ancient of Days. For none can compare with to your matchless works. Sing to the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee will bow at your throne. In worship you'll be exalted, O Lord, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O ancient. Daniel 7, 18, 22, 27.
But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom.
They shall receive the kingdom.
And possess the kingdom forever.
And they shall possess the kingdom forever.
Even forever and
even
ever.
Even forever and ever. Yes?
Until the Ancient of Days came.
Until the Ancient of Days came. That's 22 now.
22.
Yes?
And a judgment was made in favor of
and
the saints.
And judgment was made in favor of the saints.
Of the Most High.
Of the Most High.
And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom.
And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. 27.
Then the kingdom and dominion.
Then the kingdom and dominion.
And the greatness of the kingdom.
And the greatness of the kingdom
under the old heaven,
shall be given to the people.
The saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominions shall
serve.
And obey him.
Amen. I say amen to it and swallow it. That is the way it will be in Jesus' name. At the millennial kingdom, men will now begin to pick the pieces of their lives, okay? All the people in government are holy people who will live forever and ever. For the next 1,000 years, nobody will die. Except those who commit offenses that must be punishable by death, okay? But people won't die of old age or one ache at their back. And from year in, year out, people go year by year to Jerusalem to see the King, Jesus Christ the righteous, seated there enthroned on his throne. Amen. I hope you make me speak. Amen. All of that will continue for 1,000 years, and people will be giving birth to children. Their lives will now be at peace. Snakes will no longer be able to bite people. All the animals, all the carnivorous animals, will receive a change. Okay? The Bible says that lions will eat straw or grass like an oxen. Okay? No one is hurting anybody. A little child can put her hand inside the hole of a viper and nobody will be able to hurt anybody. No evil will happen. Let us look at that quickly in the Bible. That will keep happening over a period of 1,000 years. But let me quickly show us that in Scripture. I want you to open to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 11, verse 6. What does it say?
The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb.
The wolf will dwell with the lamb. What used to be the food of wolf? It's lamb now. Yes?
The leopard shall lie down with the young goats.
What is the food of leopard? Young goat. But they will lie down together, yes?
The calf and the young lion and the fatling together.
Calf is the food of what? Lion.
And a little child shall lead them.
And yet all of them, a little child will lead all of them. Verse 8.
The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole.
A nursing child, a little baby, can play by a cobra's hole. Is that all there?
And the wind child shall put his hand in the viper's.
And a wind child, that's a child that's no longer breastfeeding, can put his hand in a viper's hole. Yes?
They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain.
Yes.
For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea.
Okay. Please, can you read verse 7?
The cow and the bear shall graze.
The cow and the bear shall feed together. What is the food of bear? It's cow.
Their young ones shall lie down together.
Their young ones will lie down together.
And the lion shall eat straw like the ox.
The lion will eat grass just like an ox. So all those bloodshed, nothing like that anymore. Why? The Prince of Peace has come. Amen. This will be the condition in the millennial kingdom until 1,000 years is over. And then Satan is released for a while. Now, remember that people are getting married and all that. Is it not so? So imagine there would have been 10 generations if we count using 100 years each. Okay? Those who were there that were judged and were allowed to enter the kingdom, they would have been like 1,000 years older at the time. Is it not so? And their grandchildren, great-grandchildren will now be alive. Of course, the earth will have been repopulated. And Satan, who was in his prison, will then be released again upon the earth. Of course, he will quickly go again to deceive as many that he can deceive as possible. Of course, you and I know he can't deceive those who have entered into the kingdom. I'm talking about the parents or the ancestors of those people who were judged and brought in because they saw the King. Now, those who were born afterwards, who never saw the tribulation and all that, yeah, they saw Jesus too, but you know, they were born after all those events happened. Many of them will follow Satan. Then they will start again. Their rebellion again. We no go agree.
God summarized it by saying fire will fall from heaven. Wipe all of them out. They are not judged. They are just thrown from, as they are burning from earth, the burning continues in the lake of fire. You understand? And after that time, at the white throne judgment, they are all brought out to be judged. I'm not talking about this one. I'm talking about those in hellfire, okay? Are then brought to the white throne judgment. You can see that in Revelation 20 from verse 10 to verse 15, okay? And then they are judged. When they are judged, they are returned to the lake of fire. I explained yesterday, hellfire is different from lake of fire. Just the same way a police cell is different from prison. The difference between both of them is your day in court. Is it not so? Okay? So that's what's going to happen when they are judged. They are brought back in here. When we return in the afternoon, because we have to go on break now. When we return in the afternoon, I will then begin to speak about the renovation of the heavens and of the earth. New Jerusalem coming upon the earth and how planet earth becomes the capital planet of the entire universe. And how man will be next to God in position and in power. And how forever and ever we will live in bliss and joy and glory and victory. And if I have the time, I want to also end on a note. The opposite of what those in hell, in the lake of fire, will be facing. So that while you are here, you can make your choice aright. Admittance into God's coming kingdom is on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done. Amen. It's not on the basis of what you have done or what you couldn't have done. Okay? And if you say you believe him, you walk like him. You be like him. You live like him. May the Lord give you peace in Jesus' name. Let us stand up to pray. I want you to pray that you will not be lost. I want you to ask the Lord to help you that you will not be lost. Pray like somebody praying. Pray. I want you to tell him that when your time here is done, you will not be found on the wrong side of history. Even in the name of Jesus. But more importantly, let the Lord help you now to make the right decision. To decide for Jesus. To live following his life examples. To live your life in preparation for his coming. For whether the world believes it or not, he will come. Lord, help me in Jesus' name. Let me not be lost. Let me not be on the wrong side of history. Help me to live for your purpose. Help me to live for you. Even in the name of Jesus. Grant me grace in Jesus' name. Help my life. Help my destiny. Help me not to deceive myself. Help me not to listen to deceivers. Help me to live a life of obedience. Help me to learn day by day to follow Jesus so that his purpose can stand in my life, so that I can become all that God wrote concerning my life and destiny, even in the name of Jesus. Oko ti o de mi lona iye loko ba mi mu ku osho wo ni oko ti o de mi lona iye meta
Getting home. Lord God, please evacuate it. Take them away from my life. Let them be completely taken away. Lord God, please, I submit it all to you. Lord God, please, I pray. What is that thing that the devil has sent into my life, or that he has used to pin me down? That he somehow thought that he has used to secure me for hell. Lord, please, I pray this afternoon that you take them all away. Lord, you are my Savior, and you are the one that is able to save to the uttermost. Lord God, I pray that you will come to my rescue. Lord God, come to my rescue. Come to my rescue. Come to my rescue. Come to my rescue. By strength shall no man prevail. I can on my own self do it, O God. Lord, please help me. Help me. Help me, O God. Lord, come. Saving grace. Let your saving grace, O God, be available for me today. Your saving grace. Your saving grace. Your saving grace. I know you know, as I can hear it in my spirit, why you are bringing this message to us again. I know quite a number of us, one way or the other, in different ways, we have heard it before. And you are bringing it again to us, bringing it our way again. It is a privilege, O God. Father, we pray. The purpose for bringing this message to us individually, Lord, do not let it be cancelled in our lives in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will look into our lives and search those things that are capable of hindering us from getting in.
those things that are capable of making us to stay behind. Those things that will not allow us to enter into our eternal glory. Lord God, we pray this afternoon that you that has the heart that your hand can save, the one with outstretched hand, Baba Olowo Gbogboro, the one that can save unto the uttermost. We pray that you will save us in the name of Jesus. Lord God, you will not send a word, a message like this, or call a meeting like this without you being there to make a way out, without you being there, or without you making the grace to obey available. Lord God, the grace to obey, the grace to align ourselves with the word that you have sent that is available now. Lord God, let it be available for us individually in the name of Jesus. Lord, we will not be just hearers. Lord, the power in your word, the saving power in your word, the transforming power in your word, the changing power in your word, Lord God, will find practical reality in our lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, our God. Thank you for your word. Lord God, pray for your servant that you have used. We pray that you replenish him in Jesus' name. Bless him yourself. Jesus, pray for him in the name of Jesus. By the time we are returning for the next session, oh God, we pray that which you have started, you will begin to perfect it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Maker. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
080-3348-3058, 080-8133-8536, 080-7455-8177, 081-4099-1321,
or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life?